Well, you know, we're going through some weird times right now. Financially, morally, disease-wise. You know, I heard the other day that swine flu that was so bad a couple of years ago, now they say it's mutated with some of the human strains into a totally different strain now that's almost immune to everything. I said almost everything. You know what? There ain't nothing out there that's immune to my God. Because my God is greater than anything. Amen. He has the name that's above all names. Amen. So we just need to be on top of things. We need to understand His Word. We need to be ready for what's happening. Now, how many of you go to amusement parks once in a while and like to ride roller coasters? Come on, give me a show of hands. You like roller coasters? They fun? They make you feel good? They scare you? Well, I'll tell you a little secret. There was one back in Ohio that I went to one time that scared the out of me. Because that first hill was a dilly and it pointed right at the big lake. That big Lake Erie. And it looked like you were going right out in it. And you were doing about 80 miles an hour. But you know, roller coasters can be fun. But they're not desirable in your spiritual life. That's a roller coaster you should be afraid of. When your spiritual life is doing this, something's wrong. And you know what? It's not him. It's not his fault. It's what we're doing. Amen? But you know, what I'm seeing out there right now is, first of all, the heathen don't have a spiritual life. Not the way we look at a spiritual life. They may have a spiritual life, but it's the wrong spirits. Amen? So if that ride's going up and down, I don't care. Actually, I wish it would just go down and stay down. But when I see Christians whose spiritual life is going up and down, I get concerned. You know? It starts to cause frustration, guilt, discouragement. It's kind of like being in the middle of an ocean in a little skiff with oars, and all of a sudden your oar locks break and you lose both your oars. That's what it feels like when your spiritual life is doing one of these. You start getting discouraged and you don't know what to do. You wonder why your prayers aren't getting answered. You wonder why God's not doing what you've asked Him to do. And, it's just a big indicator that something's wrong in your life. That's really what it is. It's telling you something's wrong. What do I need to do? And there can be, I don't claim to be victorious in everything. I don't claim to have reached a plateau. I've got a long ways to go. But I know one thing. My Christian life, I'm a victor. I walk in victory. And whenever I feel like I started downhill on a roller coaster, I shut myself in my room and I get out my Bible and I turn on my praise and worship CDs and I start talking to God and I start asking Him, what's wrong? Show me what's wrong so I can fix it. And you know what? It's usually something I've done or something I'm doing. Or once in a while, it's something I'm not doing that I should be doing. And as soon as I correct that, we're back up here again. And I like this plateau. Amen? I don't like the valleys. And that's the type of life that I want to live. I don't want to live a roller coaster Christian life. When a person accepts Christ and is born again, we receive a new spiritual being, a new spiritual nature. We're born again, right? And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God. Key phrase, are all things of God in your life? Or is the world greater than all things? that's in your life right now. Because if the world's things are greater than God, then your spiritual life is going to suffer. God has to be first. He has to be foremost. And He has to be everything. Now, I don't know about what the rest of you do, but when I was working 24/7, no, when I was working in the secular world before I retired, I had a secular job in a secular office with very few Christians. I could not get up in the morning and go to work unless I first spent time with God to prepare myself to make it through the rest of the day. I would get up, I would read His Word, I would meditate it, I would pray, I would listen to it. I might even do some praise and worship sometimes. Because now I'm going to go and I'm going to spend 8 hours around secular people. Not counting the time there and back. Amen. And some of you work jobs where your days may be longer than 8 hours. You stand in a shop all day and do somebody's hair. And how long are you guys open? More than 8 hours a day. You know, I learned real soon I needed to spend time preparing my spirit man to deal with the things of the world. Now, how many of you know God says to tithe, right? He says a tithe is what, 10%? He says tithes and offerings. A tithe is 10%. So if I'm going to give Him a tithe of my time, how much time a day do I have to spend with Him? There's 24 hours in a day. That means you spend 2.4 hours a day with God to just tithe. That's not giving Him any extra offerings. Now, I'm not going to put my hand up and say that I do that. Even as your associate pastor, I know there are days that I do not spend 2.4 hours a day in meditation or prayer or seeking God. And I know I need to, because that's what a tithe of your time is to Him. And He wants tithes and offerings. That means you've got to do 2.4 hours with Him plus some extra each day. Amen? How many of you have time in a day to do that? There's too many things taking up our time. Hallelujah. Let me read that again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God. But you know what? In many cases, the old nature doesn't die immediately. I know for a fact when I turned my life over to God, my old nature didn't die like that. In fact, it didn't die in a week or 2 weeks. You know, that struggle between the two natures, the new nature that He gave you, in the old nature that you've been living for, in my case, 47 years before I actually really gave my life to Him. I believe that when I was about 7, that I know I was in Bible school with my cousin and stuff, and I'm sure that they got you to say the sinner's prayer, you know. But I wasn't living it, so it wasn't real. It was real to me when I was 47 years old and I dedicated my life to Him. That's when it became real. But even when I did that, the struggle between what I had been doing and what I was and what I needed to be and where I needed to go was ongoing for quite a while. In fact, I'll tell you the truth, it's still ongoing. It's not a piece of cake. There are so many things out there in the world that are pleasurable to the eyes, pleasurable to the senses, pleasurable to just want to do, and that's not what He wants you to do. Amen. And if we don't keep ourselves fed up, that's not the way to say it. If we don't keep ourselves fed till we're full of the Word of God, that struggle is going to go the wrong way. Amen. And we don't want that to happen. We don't want that struggle to go to where we end up walking in the old man. We don't want to be a victorious Christian walking in everything God has for us. And I'll say this victorious life that I walk is not free of struggles. It's not free of external struggles. It is, though, a life of inner peace. You see, God has given me inner peace in everything I do. If I don't have inner peace, then I stop and I go to Him and say, what's happening? What's wrong? Because I can be in a struggle in the world, but I should still have inner peace. Because the inner peace tells me God is leading and guiding me. If I don't have that inner peace, I need to find out why. He said, Jesus said, I will give you rest if you'll come to me. My burden is light. Amen? Being victorious is not the result of being some super Christian. We don't have any super Christians here. I don't think God has any super Christians in his church. Amen? We're all just Christians. Christ-like. Amen? It comes from a complete understanding of our true position in Christ. If you have an incomplete understanding of who God is and what He's done, you don't understand His forgiveness, you don't understand His love for you, it's going to produce a feeling of guilt and frustration. That's what happens to these people when they're not getting their spiritual life where it is. They start feeling guilty and frustrated. They don't understand their God. They don't have a personal day-to-day relationship to where they understand who their God is and what He's already done for them, not what He has to do. Amen? Learning to leave the past behind reduces a great deal of that stress. Who you were before you gave your life to Jesus needs to get behind you. It needs to be left in the dust. In fact, God said in His Word, I didn't say it, that He would forgive your sins and that they would be as far as the east is from the west. Now, why didn't He say north and south? Anybody here understand how the globe works? If you go north and go over the pole, what direction are you going after you go across the North Pole?
South.
If you go east and you go all the way around the world, what direction are you still going? Still going east. East never meets west. So God said, and this was before we knew the world was round. God said He would cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. You'll never see Him again. Amen. But you have to understand that. You have to believe it. What I was and what I did before 1997 doesn't matter anymore. Not to me, not to God. Now, if I had been a criminal and I had done something that needed to be punished by social laws, guess what? I'm still eligible for that punishment. Just because God forgives you of what you did doesn't mean that you're not still responsible for what you did. Amen? Charles Manson was still guilty of all those murders, even though he supposedly gave his life to Christ before he died in prison. Amen? He still had to suffer the punishment. We must continually draw on the Lord for our strength. Victory and stability will grow in our lives as we learn to draw our strength from God. When I am weak, Paul said, He makes me strong. Amen? When I am weak, God makes me strong. If I try to be strong on my own, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail. That strength is a fruit and byproduct of spending time with God, spending time in His Word, spending time with the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. Amen? You're not going to get it any other way except by spending time with God. You know, what I'm trying to tell you this morning is how to get by in the troubled times we've got going on today. How to be a victorious Christian when everybody around you is failing. Amen? Some Christians view the victorious life as a life free from temptation and conflict. Ha ha! Where are you coming from? Even Jesus was tempted so that he could show us how to handle that temptation. You're going to be tempted. You're going to have conflicts. You're going to have troubles. We're promised the victory. We're not promised a plush life, if you will. We're not promised that we're not going to have issues. We're not promised that the world's not going to hate us. They hated him, they hate me. Because he's in me. Amen. Our victory over them only comes through God, though. Through what he's given us. So how do you get that victory? Do you just have it because you're a Christian? I said the prayer yesterday. I'm a Christian now. I'm victorious. I don't have to do anything else? Absolutely not. The work now begins. I said the work now begins. The Christian life is a work. It's a work from the day you're born again until Jesus comes and takes us home. And if you think it's not, you're deluded, I would say. So I have a list of things here. And the very first one I have is control what you hear. You need to be careful what we hear. Okay? Did you ever wonder why they call the television the boob tube here in America? The British call it the telly. I don't know what that word means necessarily. Maybe I should find out. Maybe it means boob tube. But for as long as I can remember, Americans have referred to the television as the boob tube. I think I know why. Spend enough time in front of it, guess what you're going to be like? The boobs that are on it. And I'm not talking about some woman, okay? I'm talking about idiots. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Let's get in some word here before I get in trouble. Can't get in trouble as long as I let God lead me. Mark chapter 4. Get on to verse 24. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. If I'm listening to the television 8 hours a day, what am I hearing? Even if I'm on one of those channels that are supposedly Christian channels, what am I hearing? I can tell you right now that some of those so-called Christian channels put things on there that people pay them to put on there because they have to pay for their station time somehow. And they aren't like Precious Faith things. Okay? I'm not going to say they're not Christian. I'm going to say they're not like Precious Faith. They're not building me up. So why do I want to listen to them? And if I do listen to them, I'm not getting built up. I'm getting torn down. Let me put it to you this way. Satan speaks through many mediums. Even other so-called Christian channels. Satan speaks through suggestive music. There is a lot of suggestive music on the market today. Okay? We need to even be careful what we listen to music-wise. There's a lot of good Christian music out there. There's a lot of good gospel music out there. But there's also some religious music out there that has unbelief in it. Under the label of being Christian music. Okay? You have to run it through the filter of the Word. Does it line up? If it doesn't, don't listen to it. It's going to tear you down instead of building you up. How about this one? Satan speaks through gossip. I heard so-and-so did this. If you heard it, don't repeat it. Amen. Find out for the truth before you do anything. Go talk to so-and-so if it's something that you need to know. Don't just repeat it. That's the devil working through someone to control what you're hearing. Amen? Criticism. The devil will work through criticism. Somebody will criticize you for something you've done. When you know what it was right, yet you're getting criticism for it. That hurts a person's ego. Amen? And the devil knows that. And if he can hurt your ego enough, he's going to break you. That's his sole goal, is to break you so that you don't believe the things of God. News media. Oh. Be careful what news media you listen to. In fact, they're all probably bad. They're all biased one way or another. Amen? CBS will be biased this way. ABC will be biased this way. And NBC, who knows? Be careful what you listen to. Now, I'm not telling you not to listen to the news. Okay? We need to know what's going on. I'm telling you, listen carefully so that it doesn't sway you. People. The guy next to you. A family member who's not walking with God or who's at the moment listening to the wrong person talking to him. Amen? Satan will use your own wife if you'll let him. I'm serious. Or husband. Or your son or your daughter. Or a father or a mother. If he can get you to listen to him and repeat what he told you to say, he'll use you. See, he's trying to get someone to listen to what he wants to say. And if he can do that, he's doing his job. So you got to be careful what you hear. You need to listen by the Word and the Spirit. I think, is it 1 John chapter 4? I don't have any notes here. Bear with me. I think it's 1 John chapter 4. Yeah, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. When you hear something being spoken to you, test it. Is it, number one, from the Word of God? If it's not from the Word of God, number two, does it line up with what God's Word says? Or is it just somebody's junk they're feeding you? If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, or it doesn't filter through the Word of God, it's junk. Throw it out. And where we were here in Mark chapter 24, I'm going to read the rest of the verse now. Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. What do you suppose he's talking about you hearing there, though? He's talking about you hearing what God has to say to you. When you hear what God has to say to you, then more will be given to you by him. Amen? How about Mark chapter 9? Verse 7. Mark chapter 9, verse 7. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." God's even telling us, listen to Jesus. Listen to what he has to say to you. Filter what you hear through him, if you will. Amen? Luke 5:1. We need to listen to Jesus when he speaks to us. When you're praying, it shouldn't be one-sided. It shouldn't be just you talking all the time, telling God what you want, what you need, or some of us actually do thank God for the things He's already done for us, you know. Then you need to get quiet for a while. And just stay in that place. I like to call it that secret place. Because I love that secret place. And then just listen. And listen for God. Listen for that. It might be an audible voice. Most likely not. Most likely it's going to be that still small voice that you hear deep inside of you. Like this morning during worship. I didn't hear Him say out loud, use the kids. No, I heard a still small voice say, include my children in the offering this morning. And we need to listen for that. Luke 5:1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the word of God, that He stood by the lake. And then He spoke to them. They came, they pressed in so that they could hear what He had to say. They weren't going downtown to the square to listen to what the people in the square had to say. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. Now, Jesus doesn't talk to me out loud very often. He talks to me through His Word. Amen? So I have to listen to His Word. Luke 11, verse 28. But He said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. See, you've got to do more than just hear it. You have to keep it. Where do you keep it? Keep it in your heart. You plant it in your heart so it can grow. Amen. Hebrews 12:2. The next thing I want to look at is, or explain to you, we'll look at it together, is how you control what you see. That is as important as what you hear. I know before I rededicated myself to the Lord in 1997, I would watch anything and everything on TV, at the movies. And when my wife would complain, I'd say, it's just a movie. It's all right. It doesn't do anything. But you know what happens? Whatever you see and whatever you hear the most of is what you begin to become like. And you don't even realize that it's happening until it's already happened. And now, since it's already happened, now you got to get rid of it. If you don't let it happen, you don't have to get rid of it. So we need to control what we see as well as what we hear. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. Keep your eyes stayed on Jesus. As well as your mind. Now, you can't avoid looking at what's going on around you. I don't want you closing your eyes when you're driving your car down the road, for Pete's sakes. I mean, I might be out there. Amen? So you've got to look. You've got to see. But it's what you purpose to sit down and watch that you have to control. What you purpose to meditate on, if you will. Because when people watch a movie, basically they're meditating on it. They're engrossed in what's going on. Don't change that channel on them or you're going to get slapped. Amen? We need to be the same way when we're in His Word. We need to be engrossed in His Word. We need to see what's written between the lines. How many of you found stuff written between the lines in your Bible when you're meditating the Word? I have. I didn't know they could write that fine. Watching lustfulness, murder, destruction, and all the down news on TV, you know what it's going to do to you? Exactly what it's doing out there. You can't focus on it. We need to know what's going on. You know, like the cruise liner that ran aground over in Italy and flipped flipped over. We need to pray for those people, so we need to know what happened. But we don't need to focus on it. Am I going to let that keep me from going on a cruise ship if I get a chance? Absolutely not. I know how to pray. Airliners that crash and people, you know, I still fly. I don't care. We need to let Christ control what we see. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's start with verse 14. You know, Jesus said in His Word, casting down imaginations and in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That doesn't necessarily mean just things you're looking at or things you're hearing or things you're... It can mean things you're seeing also. Because seeing things actually stimulates your imagination. You know, you see a vivid picture, your imagination starts to run. And the Word says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we need to do that. We need to be diligent about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 14, knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of the Lord. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. But what is it being renewed by? You need to be careful what you're watching so that you're renewing it correctly. You got to be renewing it in the things of God. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and an eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. Everything out here in this world that you see is temporary, folks. It's going to go away one day. It's going to go away in a flash. When the King of Glory comes to take His church back, it's gone. Everything you see is gone. But the things which are not seen are eternal. I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus and the things He said I could have, the things that are in heaven. Here's the other thing. You want to have what's in heaven? Jesus told us how to pray. He said, on earth, just as it is in heaven. You don't have to wait until you're in heaven to have the things that are in heaven that are ours. We're supposed to have them right now today. We're supposed to be walking in them every day. We're supposed to be benefiting from them. He loadeth us daily with His blessings, people. And we need to understand that. Heaven on earth. Why would He tell His disciples to pray that way if He didn't mean it? Did He lie? Jesus doesn't lie. Amen? We need to keep our eyes on the Lord, on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That song we did earlier, keep my mind stayed on Jesus. Well, how about my mind, my eyes, my ears, my heart? Oh, that's the most important one, my heart. My heart's got to be stayed on Jesus, because that's where all the issues of life stem from. Whatever you have the most in here is what's going to come out. Number three, we got to control our thinking. Colossians chapter 3. Many people think on and seek earthly gains. You know, they seek out the things here in the great now and present that's going to get them wealth or get them fame or whatever. And we need to think on the things that are going to be with us forever. You know, it's okay to have a job and earn money. But don't let that money run your life. Don't let that money become your Lord. You know, I like good things. I like nice things. I like to have money. I like to be able to go out and eat meals and stuff. I like to be able to, you know, walk in the store and just buy something I wanted. But that's not what makes me happy. What makes me happy is knowing God loves me. You know, it was such a change when I rededicated my life to Him that I couldn't believe it. I started getting rid of things that I thought I really liked. I got rid of my travel trailer. Actually, it was a hunting trailer. I didn't use it much for travel. I used it more for hunting. I got rid of hunting. I got rid of my boat. I got rid of my fishing gear. I didn't love Him anymore. I had a new love. And He was taking up more time than I had to give to those other things. I had no time for Him anymore. Amen? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, past tense, were, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, your thinking, on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said the old man is dead, remember? New man. The old man has died. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And then he lists fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which all of that's which is idolatry. You know, if you're not even thinking about them, they aren't going to happen. If you've got your mind stayed on Jesus and you're thinking of things above, those things that I just read that he listed, what are they? I don't even know what they are. Because they're not crossing my mind, they're not crossing my heart to even want to do. Controlling our thinking, very important. You need to let Christ control your thoughts. God's promised us perfect peace. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Go read it. I'm not going to read it to you. He's promised us perfect peace through Christ. We need to be positive. Now, I don't mean positive affirmations like the world does. Although, I will say this. Before I rededicated my life, when I was out there amongst the world, my friends would come down with the cold or the flu or this and that, and it seemed like I never got them. And I found out why. You can have what you say, people, even if you're not serving God. I used to always say, I don't get colds. I don't get the flu. I'd tell my friends that. And you know what? I didn't get them. They might try, but they never manifested because what I was saying wouldn't let them manifest. God's word is true, and it doesn't matter whether you're serving Him or not. He has to honor His word. He said you can have what you say. Then He has to honor it. So, be positive. Think of things of good report. You know, when you're getting all this bad news from all these other places, just stop for a minute. Close the door of your den or your prayer closet or wherever you go to be alone with God. And then pull out your Bible and start going through the promises of God. You can find them on just about every page of the Bible. That's how many there are. And just start thanking Him for all the promises. And before long, you'll forget all about what was going on around you. See, that's my version of stepping into the secret place where no weapon formed can touch me. No evil can befall me. Because there's a hedge of protection around me. It's called the feathers of the wing of God. over me. You know? And I'm not just saying that because I want someone to think it, you know, you can do that. I'm saying it because I do it. You know, I get some bad news, I go to my closet, I pray. And it doesn't have to be bad news just for me, it could be bad news for one of you. Just so you know, I'll go to my prayer closet, I'll pray. That's what being a shepherd is. That's what God told me when He told me back in 2005 that I was to be a pastor in this church. That's what He meant by it. You're going to shepherd my sheep now. You're not the shepherd, but you're a shepherd. Amen? I didn't want to be a pastor. God wanted me to be a pastor. He had to put it in my heart. Because before that, I could care less. No. God changes you from the inside out. And now, I know how to think positive things. Okay, I didn't want to be a pastor. Let's look at the good side of it. What's the good points? I get to be in His Word. I get to meditate His Word. I get to pray for folks. You know? And far outweighs the bad. Philippians 4:8, if you want a verse. Think on good reports. Many have nothing but negative attitudes. That's another thing. Your attitude. Oh. If all you have is a negative attitude, guess what you're going to get? Nothing. Well, the bad stuff anyways. You know, I used to run around with a guy. I said used to. Because every time you'd ask him something about anything, you got a negative answer. And one day I went, what's wrong with you? Can't you say anything positive about anything? Why? The world sucks. Guess what? I don't run with him anymore. I run with people that have good attitudes, people that love God. So that I don't have the kind of attitude I was seeing. Because who you run with is who you're going to be like. You want a change of attitude? Change your friends. I'll say that again. You want a change of attitude? Change your friends. Now, am I telling you all your friends are bad? No, I don't know. I don't know who your friends are. But if you need to change for the better, take a look at your friends. Maybe you need to change friends. Besides, I didn't say that. He did. Look for the good in something. Be glad and rejoice in the Lord. Come on. Be glad and rejoice in the Lord. Psalm 32, verse 11. That's what we did this morning. We were glad and rejoiced in the Lord. I seen some faces change while we were doing that. I seen some smiles start to show up on faces that didn't have smiles when they first came in. Mine included. I wanted to turn around and go home first thing this morning. I didn't want to stay. Especially after I got told I was preaching. No. Can't do that. God would not have a part of that. Psalm 32, verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. Who's righteous? Everybody that's righteous in this room, raise your hand. How come there's some hands that aren't up? Don't you understand what righteousness is? You're not righteous. You're the righteousness of Christ in God. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. And shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Now, do you understand what upright in heart means, people? Upright in heart means that in here, you're thinking all the good things that God has told you to think. That your heart is full of God's Word and His uprightness, if you will. That you're not off doing the things that the world would do. You're not walking upright before God if you're doing the things the world would do. Amen? Oh, yeah. Control what we say. Okay? We've got control what we hear, control what we see, Control what we think. Now we're getting down to controlling what you say. Papa Hagen, Kenneth Hagen Sr., for those of you, we all call him Papa, had a teaching that he did where he said Jesus told him to take a piece of paper and a pencil and write down these four things, and he gave him four things. And he says, if you follow those four things, you can have anything you say. That's an awesome little teaching. It's in a little mini book. As a matter of fact, you can get the mini book. And basically, what he told him was, do the Word of God in a nutshell. Number one, what you say has to line up with the Word of God or it isn't any good. You're not going to get it if it's not lined up with His Word. You know, you can't go speaking your neighbor's wife and expect God to honor it, or speaking a Cadillac when you don't have the money to afford it. God's not going to honor that. So it has to line up with His Word. Matthew 10. Let's look at verse 20. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. See, if you're prayed up and you've been spending time with God and you're full of the Holy Ghost, when you speak, the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you what to speak. Amen? Especially if you're being a witness for Him. You don't want to speak of yourself ever then. You want to speak and be led if you're being a witness for God. Because He will have you say exactly the right things for that person. Amen? Do not speak harshly or unkindly of one another. And I don't mean just here in this room. Even of your enemy. You want to heap coals on the fire of your enemy. Speak nice about them. Pray for them. Amen? I don't care how bad they've treated you. Now that's hard to do sometimes. But if you truly have the love of God inside of you, you can do it. And what will happen when you start praying for those that despise you and hate you is you will see things start happening in their lives. Whether God's in their life or not, He will cause changes in them. Come on. He's the God of this world. He's the God of all people. It doesn't matter whether they're born again and serving Him or not. He can still speak to them. And they can still hear Him even if they don't understand who they're hearing from. Pray for them. Don't speak bad words about them. Don't gossip about what they said about you or what they did to you. To tell someone else, so-and-so did this to me, that's gossip. Even though you know it's true, it's still gossip. You're still spreading things. No, go to your prayer closet. Number one, first thing you need to do is forgive them. God can't hear you if you don't forgive them. And I don't mean, well, I'll forgive them, but I'll never forget what they said. No. Can't do that. You haven't forgiven them. If you're going to remember what happened, you didn't forgive them. See? You have to forgive to the point that you let go of it. And then pray for them. Let Christ control our speaking. Everything we do should exalt the kingdom of God with what we say. We should never, ever say anything that puts down the kingdom of God, obviously. We should always be exalting the kingdom of God. And we should always be trying to lift somebody up in what we say to them. Because if someone comes up to you and says something to you that makes you feel good, don't you feel better about yourself then? But if someone comes up and gets in your face and starts just running you down, you don't walk away feeling better. No, we need to be careful what we say and how we say it and who we say it to. And then, I already covered it. Remember, Jesus said in His Word, two different places we can have what we say. In John chapter 14, verse 13, and John chapter 15, verse 16, He said, when you pray in My name, the Father will give you what you ask for. Now, here again, it's got to be in line with His Word. Even though He didn't specifically say that there, we know that. We can't pray for something that's not God's will. And the last thing I want to cover is we need to always be prayerful. Luke 18:1 says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." And over in Ephesians it says, "Praying at all times, in all manner, with all supplication for the saints." We need to be in prayer, people. Prayer. I used to get really frustrated with prayer when I was a baby Christian. How do I pray? What do I say? You know what prayer is? It's Brother Matt and I sitting down and talking. It's me sitting down with my dad and talking. Amen? He's my dad. That's what prayer is. It's communication. That's why it needs to be two-way. That's why once you get done with all your requests, you should follow that with thanks, because you should have started with thanks. And then you need to get quiet and listen and hear what he has to say back to you. And don't just, you know, okay, 15, he didn't say anything, I'm done. No, no, no. Give it some quality time. You know? Because you have to still yourself before you can hear what he has to say. As long as your mind, and those of us who are logical thinkers, we have a hard time stilling our minds. Right, Brother Matt? Engineers, logical, technical thinkers, it's hard for us to shut down and listen. I've had to teach myself how to get still before the Lord. Because I'm always trying to do something else while I should be listening for him. No, you've got to shut everything down, or you're not going to hear from him. Well, I already covered it. Many neglect spending time with God. They're too occupied with material things. I did a teaching once before called Spiritual Maintenance. Now, if you heard it, you know what I'm talking about. Anytime you buy something new today, I don't care what it is. For a guy, it could be a tool. For a woman, it could be a kitchen appliance or a dress. Or before you go buy anything material, ask yourself this question. Do I have the time to maintain it? To use it and to maintain it? And where is that time coming from? Am I going to have to rob Peter to pay Paul? Am I going to have to take time from my spiritual time and shorten it even more in order to maintain this thing that I want? Because if you are, forget it. You don't need it. If anything, you need to be getting rid of some material things that take up your time so that you can get up to that 2.4 hours a day plus additional, so that you're giving God the time that he should be getting. Amen? We sleep away half a day, most of us. 8 to 16 hours a day, some of us sleep. Don't you get a good 8 hours a night? I don't either. Trust me, I don't. But do you get up in the middle of the night and go pray? Do you get up in the middle of the night and go read your Bible? Do you get up in the middle of the night and go play some praise and worship music? Most of us don't. But we need to get him that time. So that teaching on spiritual maintenance was, if you can't afford it spiritually, you don't buy it. Now you just save some money too. You know, like having 5, 6, 7 cars, and there's only 2 people driving in the family. You have to maintain those things. Why have them if you can't maintain them? I think 2 in my family is too much, really, you know. Because there's only my wife and I. She argues, no, what if something happens to one and we got to have a backup? Well, good point, but you still have 2 vehicles to maintain now. And of course, there's always times she wants to go someplace and I need to go someplace else, and we aren't going together anyway, so yeah, enough said. Another reason that people don't pray on a regular basis, the stresses of life, especially dealing with troubled times like we got going on out here in the world right now. They get in your mind, they get in your thoughts, and you get you get involved in that stress, and so you fail to pray as much as you should, and guess what? Now that stress starts to build even more. The more that stress builds, the less you're going to pray, and it's a vicious circle. When in fact, if you just take time to go pray, the stress level would come down. Amen? And you can't try to go out and do things in your own strength, especially if it's something you think God has called you to do. It definitely has to be in His strength then, or you're not going to do it. You're going to fail. I don't care how strong you are. It's not the physical strength we're talking about. And last, to be victorious during troubled times, we must rely on God's power. I said we have to rely on God's power, not our own. His power is infinite. Now, do you know what infinite is? It means it never ends. It's never ending. Over in Isaiah, he says that Jesus' kingdom is a never-ending kingdom. It increases forever. Okay? God's power is infinite. It never fails either. God said in His Word that whatever He sent forth His Word to do, that it will do. It will not return void. Okay? I believe in all my heart that if you take God's Word and you have it sown in your heart and you speak His Word forth, He has to honor what He said. He said, "My Word will not return void. It will accomplish that for which I sent it." If you send it in His name, it's as if He sent it. We are His ambassador. He has to honor that word, and He has to see that it accomplishes that for which it was sent. His power is infinite, and we need to always use His power to do what He's called us to do. If you want to walk victorious, if you want to be a victorious Christian out here in what's going on in today's world, then you've got to walk in the power of God. You've got to be prayed up, you've got to be Holy Ghost full, and you've got to be meditating the Word and spending time with God so that you can hear from Him and know what He's told you to do. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Oh, I caught somebody with their stuff put away already. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's look at verse 17, people. He said, "Pray without ceasing." Now, how many of us are praying 24/7? What do you think he meant there? Pray without ceasing. I believe it was Smith Wigglesworth that said, "I don't pray all the time, but I never go 15 minutes without praying." I think you could call that praying without ceasing. You know, I know when I was still at work, I used to, if I was just at my desk doing desk work and didn't have to be around people, I would pray in the Holy Ghost quietly while I worked. You know, that's an opportunity. Now, if someone was there with me and we needed to talk or something, you know, that, or you're doing somebody's hair, I don't think it'd be, you know, praying in the Holy Ghost. They might not like that. But there's times when you can pray quietly in the Holy Ghost when you're working. That keeps you prayed up for what's going on at work, because the Holy Ghost knows what's coming up and what's going to happen. 5:17. Now, and then Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." Oh, in the Spirit. See? Praying the Holy Ghost. You know, that's I don't think I ever seen that before. I think I skipped that word every time. praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying always. You know, when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God can speak to you and He can lead you to pray for others that need prayer, for things they need prayer for that you don't even know about at the time. He may let you understand it when you're praying. He may not. It doesn't matter. He can lead you to pray for them. That's very important because He'll use you to pray out something for somebody else that needs that prayer. And it might be somebody in another country even. Not even somebody you know. And he might be asking a dozen people to pray for this situation and only four of them answer. Or maybe they all answer. You don't know. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you don't know what you're praying unless He chooses to let you know. Praying with all supplication for all the saints. I remember one time my wife and I were praying, and all of a sudden her prayer language just completely changed. It went from her normal prayer language to an Asian language that I assumed was Chinese or Korean. And the next thing I know, she's writhing in pain on the floor. Her back is just, you know. We ended up praying through it. And what we were told happened is she was praying for a Chinese man, because she spoke his name, who was being persecuted for his beliefs. And the pain she was feeling was knife stabs when they were stabbing him. You got to pray it out because you might be that person's savior. You might save them from what was happening. Amen. Stand to your feet. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
All the time to who?
You.
Thank you, brother. I like that one. To us. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.